Welcome to Highway Diary. Woo! I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Sean Lewin.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me.
It's like the parking lot diaries today.
I know. We have a great view of a dumpster with celery sticking out of it.
I don't.
And a fucking hobo mattress.
Yeah, it looks. I wish you guys could see it that are listening. It looks like it's a mini carpet that the mob uses to roll a body in, but it's super tiny.
Right. Now, we just were eating some cookies. We went to Tanner's Coffee in Culver City because I Yelped it. It looks good. What I like about this, the vibe of the place, is the barista had the glasses and like, oh, am I showing cleavage or not? I'm wearing a flannel and nothing, no bra. Whatever. am I showing boobs to get tips? I don't even know.
It's very my hipster. Tips right.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
I love.
I don't even know what tits are.
I went in there and I was like, "Ooh, a cookie," and she's like, "That's like a meal." And I was like, "Really?" And it looks like 15 grams of protein, but it's like a $2.50 cookie. It's the most hipsterish kind of stuff. It's $5 for a coffee and a cookie.
It tastes like a vegan's cum.
It does. It definitely bland, which I'm assuming is bland.
A lot of tofu.
But the coffee is tasty.
Speaking of that, I had a flapper show on Tuesday. And I make jokes about, you know, how homophobic some black people are, all right? I make some jokes about how the gays got sex on the internet down with Grindr. They open up a map and see how much...
I'm so jealous of that, by the way.
Open up a map and see how much gay cock per square foot's in your neighborhood. So I'm dropping these kinds of jokes. Then I mention how I have a girlfriend in one of the jokes. Then the guy goes, oh, yeah, they go, oh, he was funny, this black guy. I'm like, cool. Then he goes, yeah, but I'm not gay, though. What are you fucking talking about? How homophobic are you where I talk about Grindr?
As soon as the word gay or homosexual comes up, it's like, whoa, are you calling me gay?
You can just say I'm fun, like, oh, yeah, he was funny. But then he has to also add the no homo, because I had jokes about gays. I'm saying I'm not gay. You know what I mean?
One of my favorite things, just comedy-wise, in the entire world, is straight dudes being uncomfortable by gay or homosexual or dicks. Like Bruno, the movie Bruno.
Right.
Fucking killed me because of it. Just is that the entire movie?
But is it the reaction of the audience?
Yes.
Of what he's putting them through?
And I know, yeah, pretty much, exactly. Right. Like, I remember seeing, what was it, Talladega Nights, where Will Ferrell kisses someone, or no, it was Sacha Baron Cohen makes out with his Andy Richter or whatever it is. I just remember a guy in a NASCAR hat, like, covering his face just from kissing, like, oh, God!
I don't want to look at this! And, like, turn me gay with its rays that are emanating off this!
And, like, to me, I don't know, many dudes are grossed out by dicks. Like, I just picture, like, are these guys grossed out when they go piss in the morning? Like, are they seeing their dicks and be like, oh, God! I gotta look at this thing while I piss!
I gotta touch it? I'm not a faggot!
Right?
It's like, you're holding your own dick! Like, what is with this, like, crazy homophobia? I can't, okay, anyway. So let's introduce you.
Oh, yeah.
We know each other from this improv troupe called Monkey Butler.
Butt Cheeks, Monkey Butt Cheeks.
You're about to go there right after this.
Yeah.
I've moved on to bigger
bigger and better.
But you have this podcast called the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
Yeah.
That's what people should really check out.
That's my favorite. That's my little baby.
So this thing has been growing for a while. You know, how long have you been doing this?
This is 4 years in August it was. I've been working on it. It's like every little thing is just a new building block. I'm trying.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if there's anything in life, like, I love comedy, many comedians do. But my passion has always been radio. Like, I've always been a nerd for radio, like Stern and Loveline and even like Likas. Everybody hates Likas, but I love the show. You know what I mean?
Yup, that bitch.
Yeah, yup, that bitch. But yeah, and this is my passion, man, is podcasting now.
It's
so
fun.
Easy to do.
Yeah.
Right?
And it gives you access to an audience. It's like there's these people at the top, these gremlins at the top jangling keys to a successful career.
Right.
And, you know, they've been, like, how old is Lorne Michaels? Like, 106?
And
he's still jangling those keys?
My favorite thing about the podcasting thing is I get riled up, as I'm sure you do, right? You get riled up over things, and I don't want to be the guy typing out a Facebook status. I don't like any politics or any opinions on your Facebook, for the most part, so it's annoying. But on my podcast, if you search it out, now I can rant and rail, and it's a great, like, just something to alleviate this fucking pressure and just anger and rage, or just I'm excited, you know what I mean? And that's my favorite, man.
Yeah. So, what is this? Is it your stress from you reacting to the world and your stress comes out in the podcast?
I kind of am a very quiet person in life. I try not to overstep my bounds, boundaries, whatever. But on the podcast, I try to keep it as real as I can. And if something comes through my mouth or in my mind, I gotta say it. And so, yeah, it's kind of it sounds so cliche calling it like therapy. My comedy is therapy. But it's this valve that I get to release my little anger tube, and now I feel nice because I spat it out, and if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't.
What's the most surprising email? You know, has your podcast reached someone in, I heard you had a UK listener.
She's a big fan. England. I get a lot of China hits. I never hear from them, but I mean, I keep track of the numbers, but we get a lot of hits in China, which is strange.
I wonder if that's just the government seeing the cultures
right.
are.
Like, what's going on here? I'll take your hits, though. By all means.
Can we exploit them for weaknesses? It seems like all their population is concerned with is salvia and video games. Right. I think we could destroy this culture.
They're stuck jerking it 5 times a week.
Speaking of which, you've tasered people. You've had people smoke salvia on your show.
That's our newest one. Yeah, salvia.
Are you worried about getting busted by the cops?
Or is salvia's that is legal that, so far? Right.
It's the stress of the. That you keep pushing the envelope to, if you got arrested, that would be great press, actually.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love it. I want the government to try and shut me down. This is a little peek behind the curtain. I send news outlets a lot of times, hey, my kids were listening to this show and it's garbage, just in case I ever, because I want horrible press. I want any press.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're hustling.
I'm trying. But, the salvia thing is this new thing where we have someone smoke salvia, and they try to put a shirt on, and it's pretty entertaining. I did it on the video I gotta do it if I expect other people to do it, I guess. And I am afraid, some sort of future employer coming across, even though it is legal, I'm afraid that they'll be like, oh, this guy's smoking salvia? What? No, that's commitment. They should take that as, oh, this guy will go the extra mile.
I think so many bureaucrats need to smoke more salvia. Fucking open their mind from, turning drone murder into cash. That's what they're into. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what are your favorite moments from the show? Anything that you remember?
Favorite moments? Recently, definitely, I love the salvia stuff that has been going on. I love callers. I love you coming on. You always attack someone, which is always fun. I take this in the spirit in which it's intended. You're one of the most disliked guests, but not like, there is a little, get the guy off here, but I love a reaction. And it's not like, that guy's boring, because I get those. Like, this guy is boring, don't have him come back. It's no, I hate him, because he's such a dick.
Right.
I love anything that evokes a reaction.
And that's the thing, what's funny is, I love insult comedy, right?
Right.
And so from the roast, the Comedy Central roast, I love them.
Yeah,
I love
favorite.
And also, there's part of it, like, as a kid, as I was alluding to a little bit, like, my parents were always saying, like, really fucked up, intense psychological reasons why they hate each other to me. They would offload.
Oh, jeez.
Like, my dad would get pissed off at my mom, and he would explain in adult terms how he thought she was lazy, how this and that. And my mom would say the same thing about my dad, in, like, really intense terms what they didn't like about each other.
Right.
And so I felt like the roast was a constructive way to relieve that and to shout it at people. And also in Jersey, there's a culture of calling people out on their bullshit more. So, I don't know. On my own podcast, if you listen to it, I'm actually normal and I appreciate the guests who are on the show and I'm like them. Right. But for some reason, I listened to a couple of your shows and I went, I just want to fucking go in there and mix it up.
Because, I don't know. I really love that type of...
Right.
I love when people... I encourage... people calling us out on the Facebook voicemail. I told a story of how I cried once, and we got an email that said, oh, I hope you're crying in your mom's titties while I be jizzing all over them and stuff. And be like, God, what a dickhead to do that. But I love, it's so great to read on the air, you know what I mean?
Right.
I remember the first review I ever got for my show, and I'd rather drink a cup of jizz than listen to this show. And I just remember being like, God, that fucking hurt. But I read it on the air, and it's so funny now when you think about it. And who gives a fuck? People are not going to like your shit.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the internet. The internet is just like, you know, people who've been abused during their childhood, like, anonymously relieving that pressure into a YouTube comment.
And they're all experts.
And that...
they're always experts. You know what I mean? That's the worst. They just think they know it all. Yeah, yeah.
So also you love bad comedy, bad YouTube rappers, train wrecks at open mics. Why do you gravitate towards the worst in show business possible?
There is something about watching novelty bad where it's like, I cannot believe there are people that had a meeting about this, there are people that talked, and this is the product. There's something amazing to me that this got through whatever avenues it needed to go through to make Bulletproof Monk, to make From Justin to Kelly, whatever the movie is, or horrible rap. And YouTube now has just delivered all of this like it's a fucking Brinks truck backing up like I'm a millionaire, except instead of money, it's just horrible, horrible things.
Clips.
I mean, it's so easy now. I just type in YouTube, and then we'll go and send these people, like, hey, we ripped on you. And most of them love it, because any attention is good attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something beautiful about some bad entertainment, man.
So you're constantly, like, investing your own cash into the show. You know, now you got a video podcast microphones. Like, every time I visited, you've upped the level of the game, you know what I mean? Now, do you feel like you can see an end game, or do you feel sometimes like you're just throwing more money into, like, a black hole, you know?
Right. There's a lot of time, as insecure as I am, I constantly feel like this is all for naught. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm doing this for nothing. Nobody's listening to this shit. But I never want to, because it is my little baby and I never want it to stop, I have fun doing it, so what else am I going to do? Never stop evolving is kind of my goal. Like, there is always something, and that shouldn't just be with the show, everybody should look at that for themselves. Like, how can I be better at what I love to do? Always look to evolve. You're never perfect, you're not Michael Jordan, nobody's Michael Jordan. Even Michael Jordan could be better at basketball, do you know what I mean? Never stop going for it, man. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Never stop. And if I stopped, what am I going to do? Fucking work in a goddamn office cubicle for my whole life?
Yeah.
I'd much rather try and just fail. And I'm having fun along the way. You know what I mean? So what the... Yeah.
I know that it's a question that's like, where it's like, it sounds like I'm tearing you down or like, where is this really fucking going? But I mean, like, we don't talk about this shit. Like, I spent like fucking $6,000 on Damien Shadows.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I know what it feels like to feel pot committed. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like a cult of this like upstart comedy thing. Just, you know, it's like a Scientologist. They spend, 15 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars, becoming clear or, like, getting to, like, a next level in science. And they're, like, they're, like, so pot committed that they're, like, well, I can't, like, admit it's all bullshit now and admit that all my money's out. So it's, like, it's the same thing. We're just in a cult.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
Of our own delusions of grandeur.
Right. The
most narcissistic cult in the world.
The just minor chance that someone might see this and like it. You know what I mean? And,
But I feel like, do you look at your Podbean? Like, because my Podbean numbers, like, they let you see them in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Where if I look at it as, like, number of people, it's, like, clearly going up.
Right.
With time.
So slow, though. I don't know about you, but yes, it is going up, but slow.
Right.
And you have those moments where it's like, man, I just suck at this. I don't know about you, but I just fucking suck. I should stop stand-up. I should stop podcasting. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And then you just tell yourself, I always just be like, stop being a pussy, Sean. What the fuck? Just stop it. Nobody gives a shit. So work harder. You know?
Yeah.
You can always work harder, man. But, I'm with you on that.
So in the very beginning of this self-indulgent podcast, it was just like you and a dial-up modem and your friend Andy T.
With the boop, boop, beep.
And then this guy Andy T would come on and go, how's it going?
Yeah.
And he's this kind of Midwestern guy, the most normal person in the world. You know, married his high school sweetheart, probably.
Yeah.
Just got a house with a picket fence. And he's not really into show business.
Right.
He just talks through drops. He doesn't even feel like his own voice is valuable enough, so he just puts drops through.
Andy is very... I've known Andy for a long time, and he's a shy guy. He's the guy that plays drops on our show. And
he's got great timing with drops. He, like, literally, has timing where he, like, you know.
Right. And he wasn't always like that. But I always will put my money on smart and dedicated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's smart. He's loyal. And I was like, dude, this is, you're a funny dude. And it's really quiet funny. And this is something you would just excel at. And he has. I think he's great at it now. And,
he's got more confidence recently. Like, yeah. Every time you see, he's, like, slowly going, wait a minute, I can say funny things every now and then.
Right. I think so, too. And I hate seeing... I gotta let go of this a little bit. This is a problem of mine. Is I see potential in someone, and I want them to do what I want.
Yeah.
What I would want to do.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, Andy's so funny. He's just so... He's too shy for his own good. He's getting his own way. So then I try and build, and then I'm like, no, find what someone's good at, let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's Andy, man. Yeah, just let people do whatever they want.
So you're in a couple different improv troupes. You're in Cherry Spitz, and you're in this Monkey Butler thing.
Right.
What are the different vibes between the two camps? You got Cherry Spitz, which is a Orange County-based one, and then Monkey Butler, which is a Christian Los Angeles one. So
right. I don't know how to... One is more long-form-based. Cherry Spitz is just starting to get into long-form. Yeah, the differences are there's no coach for Spitz, which kind of makes it tough. James Stevick is the leader, but it's tough for a leader to be a coach and kind of give notes, and then people, I don't know.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
He's like in the scene, he's like, I was great, okay, you guys have some problems.
Right.
See, when I said this, like, that was hilarious, and then you, like, made it sound stupid.
So maybe you should have just let me keep talking there.
Yeah.
That's
my note.
give me more breathing room when I talk. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the notes from Monkey Butler. And I love the reps from Cherry Spitz. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
More reps than Spitz, more notes in Monkey Butler.
Anything else? Do you feel restrained by Monkey Butler's fact that you have to work clean?
No, because I do a lot of improv in Orange County at stages, and that is not a clean. I like having an avenue where I have to work clean. I don't know. It's a little bit of a challenge for me.
Do you feel like, if I ever, like, was mainstream, I could, like, not just rely on giving someone drugs or, you know, talking about their shit?
Right. As much as my show could be, you're just, of course it's easy to make good radio when you're giving people salvia. I want to be good at just talking and chatting and fucking making jokes. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't want to have to rely on that dirty stuff if I don't have to.
I saw you do stand up.
Okay.
At the Brea Improv.
Yeah.
You had a great show.
Thank you.
You murdered it. A lot of people came out.
Yeah.
You know, and probably clicked your name on a little sheet of like, who are you here to see? I'm here to see Sean Lewis. Have you been invited back? What's going on?
No. I was not in the top four that brought people. And by the way, comics are so insecure. I got... Afterwards, one of the comics goes, oh man, you must have brought the whole room. Because, I mean, I don't know. You were there. I don't like to toot my own horn, but I may have gotten the best reaction of the
night.
Right?
Yep.
And the comic...
I'll tell you, I will toot my own horn on Tuesday. I fucking did fucking awesome.
And
so anyway.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it feels great because I'm still riding a high.
Right.
You know?
And it's hard to argue with a response. You know what I mean? Like, right. I can't look at them and be like, I did the worst. No, the response, I got the
right,
best
right,
response.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, a comic comes up to me after my after the show and was like, man, you must have brought most of the crowd, right? And I was like, I probably brought like 18 people or something. Nah, you probably brought most of the crowd. Like, he had to validate why I got more... is the way I saw
it. He brought 55 people, and they were quiet because he fucking sucked.
Right. He was great, you know, but, like, I noticed when he said that, I was like, oh, come on, don't devalue. This is my little... You do the improv all the time. This is my only improv set I've ever done.
What is it with some guys that just everything they say has to be a brag too, and they don't even, or like something that tears you down in some way?
Just a backhanded little.
Okay, this is gonna start with a brag, and then it's good. So I just came from Muay Thai, right? And this guy is just always a little bit rough. Someone just threw fucking a watermelon into the garbage and it exploded onto my car.
Dickhole.
Anyway.
There it goes.
But he was just like he was like kicking me. You know what I'm saying?
At Muay Thai.
Where, you know, we have pads.
Yeah.
And then, but then sometimes he would like fucking kick me and just be too rough and then be like, well, you know, I'm a little too fast for you. Or be like, yeah, I got a lot of experience. So let's just stick to basics. And it's like, dude, first of all, he doesn't even know that I've been coming every day for 9 weeks.
Right.
So I know how to fucking hold pads. And second of all, don't kick me hard so I know you're good at Muay Thai. I could kick you hard,
He's
too.
He's got to prove
but
it.
But I'm not an asshole. You know what I mean? It's that little thing of just like, oh, whatever.
And it's a little game they like to play. And it's like, I don't know. I'm really curious how some people aren't that self-aware.
Right.
Like, I could never go up to someone and go, you know, I killed at the improv. But, just so you know, it's no like after you like bombed an open mic or something, you know what I mean? It's like I could never be that narcissistic dickhole that would do that. And someone dropping that, it's so transparent how much he wants you to know these things.
But also, it's like he was way bigger than me.
Yeah.
You know, too. And so it's like, even if I did ever fight him, he's way out of my weight class.
Yeah.
So then if you kick me hard, what are you doing?
Yeah, you got a fucking boulder of a foot coming at you. Of course you're going to get knocked on your ass. Yeah.
And he would just catch me. And then he would say, like I would throw a couple kicks at him and have him block. And then he'd say, throw a push kick or whatever. So I'd throw that, and then he'd catch it and throw me on the ground. And it's like, how about you don't know what kick I'm throwing, and then you try to block that asshole instead of just going like, hey, I'm really great. If you throw this, ha, I caught you. Stupid. He fucking elbows me in the stomach. I'm like, you're a cock at.
Damn.
How about if you didn't know I was going to throw
By the way,
that?
how long's he been doing this?
I don't know. Probably he was in his 30s, so he's probably been doing it seven years or something like that.
So, okay, great. So the seven-year veteran loves to come in and beat up on the nine-week guy. Yeah. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's just, if you're in a, like, helpful thing of, oh, let me show you this. Oh, you know what? Put your hand up or whatever there.
Yeah.
That's cool. And, like, I do that for, like, people whose first day, I help them out. And I'm always, like, nothing but nice, you know?
Right. And, it's just so transparent, man.
So, what happened when you were a kid, you know? What happened? What went wrong? I'm asking this every, like comic that I'm interviewing. Why do you need so much attention? Were you raised on MTV? Did you get the sense that you could only get attention from being a VJ?
A VJ. I don't know what it is. My parents were really good to me. I'll say that, for the most part. Not the greatest to each other. Mm-hmm. Like you said, people yelling at each other and a lot of that, and me just kind of, like, it got to the point where you cry when your parents are fighting, mm-hmm. and that's how my brother was the entire time growing up, but after a certain point, it was like I didn't even hear it. Does that make sense? I would just be playing toys, my parents arguing in the background, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it, or my fear of commitment at all. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I don't know why I need attention. I've always needed this attention. Yeah. I craved it, and it's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
It's kind of shameful. But when I get it, I love it. I eat it all up. You know what I mean?
As crazy as it is, as much fear as there is for most people, the prospect of writing jokes and telling jokes in front of other people, mm-hmm. and going, I want you to laugh. I don't think normal people also understand the high you get afterward. Because you cannot talk to a single person all day or have very little social interactions.
Right.
And then you do a stand-up show and you do awesome. And it's like this super intense social interaction that happens. And then you're like satisfied. You know what I mean?
Right. And I feel that way about improv. I feel that way about like a great podcast, putting it on if I'm very proud of it, you know. Also, I think people are so afraid of getting up. It's not that tough. It's tough to write jokes and make them hit and stuff. I don't think it's tough to get up. The first time, yes. But after you do it a couple times and you're used to, like, saying a punchline and getting no reaction, it just doesn't matter anymore. It's like, fuck this. Who cares? Okay, I'll just throw that joke out. Let's try a different one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because the first time, when I started doing stand-up, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I came from improv and the podcast, so improv is very supportive, stand-up is not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest fear in everyone is that non, because I prefer a boo to nothing.
Right. See, my first time doing stand-up, I was, like, 16, and I did, it was actually at, like, the Comedy Cellar had bringer shows, so if you bring four people, you know, so I would, like, take my mom's minivan and bring four of my friends and went into the cellar and did the open mic in New York, because that's, like, the only comedy club I knew existed or whatever, because my dad took me there when I was, like, 15, you know. So I did it, and the first time, I did great. But I only did, like, you were allowed five, and I, like, went off after, like, I said all my jokes real fast in 2 minutes, and I did well, and then I was like, later, I got mad at jokes, I got a lot of... But so I was like, oh my god, I did that? And then I, like, was super overconfident the next time, and I ate shit so hard, and I couldn't deal with it, because after, like, 2 hours in the car, parking, all the friends are there. You know, you bring a van full of people, and it's a long ride home when you eat shit. And then I was like, ugh. And then I saw a UCB show, and I was like, fuck, stand up.
I fucking hate open mics. I hate them.
Yeah.
And it's the bombings part of it, kind of. It's the waiting. I hate sitting for 3 or 4 hours to just get no response. I want to go, like, all I want to do in life is nothing. I wish I had that. I wish I could just sit and play GTA all day and just smoke weed.
Do a podcast once a week.
Maybe. Like, even that, I'm sometimes like... But, like, there's something in me that makes me feel so guilty.
Right.
If I do that. If I don't get up 1 week.
Right.
If I don't do a podcast, I feel empty and guilty. You know what I mean? I just wish I could do nothing, man. That's all I want.
And be okay with it.
And be left alone.
It's just like, then you realize, like, I only have one life, and I don't want that life to be, like, easily defined as being a loser.
Right.
Or it's like, oh, yeah, he did nothing. But, you know.
And there's something.
If you're playing that much video games, you might as well be a heroin addict.
Right.
Because you're getting this dopamine exchange from flashing lights.
There is some weird thing with me with this kind of nostalgia for being a kid. And that having no responsibilities. And that is kind of... Like, I want to get to the point where it's like, oh, man, all I got to do this week is do a set tonight.
Yeah.
And do a podcast. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about your childhood a little bit more. The easy times. The times you're nostalgic for. I remember you telling a story that you were too guilty to masturbate because of Jesus. So you just kind of would hump the ground, and then you put a belt around your dick, and then you tightened it, loosened it.
Okay, that's...
So, is this shame that was implanted in you still keeping, even though you don't believe in God anymore,
keeping
you working?
Maybe this is a therapy thing, because you just kind of... I don't know, I've always thought this, too. Maybe what fucked me up is I was spoon-fed Christianity growing up my entire life. Because my parents were a little nuts, my mom decided... Hey, I have kids now. We're going to church. Which is probably better than the alternative that was going on. And
what was the alternative going on?
My dad was an alcoholic, an addict, and stuff like that.
Okay.
And she made him change after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being a pothead or anything like that, but some, you know what I mean. It gets crazy.
Right.
So anyway, I spoon-fed this Christianity thing, and... Whenever you...
Why do you mention potheads all of a sudden? That's weird.
Whenever you...
What an arbitrary thing to bring up for no reason. So your dad, you know, that he was an alcoholic. She's like, we got to be more Christian now. You got a 12 step. So
right.
We're all going to church.
Which is great. Which is better than the alternative because I would have grown up in a horrible atmosphere. And I'm pretty sure my mom was a little crazy before I was born too. Regardless, what were we talking about? I'm sorry. Oh,
putting
masturbation.
A belt around your dick.
Whenever I found out I could jerk it, man, that is like finding a new toy, right? Like, when you're that, you're like, oh my god, this exists? But at the same time, I remember going, am I still a virgin? What is going on? I had to go to my mom and dad and be like, the white stuff came out of my dick. Or my penis. Yeah. And my dad, I told my mom first, and she goes, I don't know what that is, Sean. Because I was grinding on the ground.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to jack it. I was just watching, like, either man show episode. I think like women were
the bound, juggies.
The juggies were bound, yeah. And I remember feeling this. Oh, that feels good. I'll press harder. And then it happened. And then my dad pulled me aside and was like, "Sean, you're becoming a man." Blah blah blah. But anyway, I was told never to masturbate, so it was always this horrible cycle of jerking it, because you can't control yourself, obviously. It's a horrible... The dick has a mind of its own. Who knew that we're at such odds now, me and my dick, because I want to get work done. Oh, here comes a pop-up ad. Now it's time to jack it, because I just saw a girl in a busty shirt.
Right, you know,
or
yeah,
busty
yeah,
girl
yeah.
in a shirt. So, I taught... I don't know. I went through this entire just cycle of jerking it, feeling guilty, asking God for forgiveness, and then going through the whole process yeah. again. And it is that is self-hatred, man.
I remember I had Ninja Turtles, and I would have them fight, and then I would start crying, and I would go, "God, I'm so sorry, but I find violence and machine guns awesome. But I know I'm not, thy shall not kill. What is wrong with me? I want my turtles to kill each other."
Were your parents Christian?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, Roman Catholic, Pope style.
Okay, I don't know what that is. What's Pope style? You gotta beat yourself with like a lashing?
No, just like Roman Catholic, like whatever the Pope is over.
Okay.
Were you like Protestant or something?
It's like that really, I don't know what it's called, apostolist. I don't know. It's really modern Christian with the youth pastor with the frosted tips just singing a rock song, you know what I mean?
Hey, like, kids!
Raising to the Lord! Yeah,
yeah. Oh my God.
But the belt thing... This is another thing. You're so dumb when you fucking start your first relationship. And that was me. And I felt guilty for jerking it now because I had a girlfriend. And I'm cheating on my girlfriend with my hand. Oh, yeah. I'm such an asshole. So to get around it, I would get a boner. I couldn't do it. Like, I'd never even touch it. I'd get a boner. So I'd take my belt and loosen it and tighten it a little bit because it felt good. And I'd be like, technically, I'm not jerking off if I loosen and tighten my belt and I jizz.
It's also like before you even get a hand job, you're like, no, I'm going to be celibate with this girl. You know? She's
it's
not even
so
giving you release.
Unrealistic.
And then it's like the first hand job, it's like you fucking spray her like a fucking Ghostbuster with that. You're spraying the.
The volcano science experiment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, and it's just still pumping because you've just held it up
for
2 months.
Super soaker style, yeah.
Being celibate.
Oh, God. Now I just, I don't know. It's tough to control the jerking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but it is.
My first time jerking, it was definitely a scramble porn, like, in in my open living room, where anyone could have walked in. I would make sure, you know, I'd sneak downstairs when, I would set my alarm for, like, 3:30 in the morning and sneak downstairs like a tired little fucking horny spider monkey.
Right.
You know, and I would just be like... I would just be, like, staring at my dick, like, fucking in 2 hours from now when I am going to fucking go crazy. Because I started doing it, but I never reached completion. I was like, if I keep going, I'm going to feel dizzy.
Does it feel, it felt like it was going to piss myself.
Right?
Is that the feeling?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, you're not familiar with it, so you think you're going to piss everywhere. But honestly, when you have your first orgasm, it's just like... this pleasure explosion, you see like rainbows in front of your eyes.
I wish I could.
You got dizzy, and I was like seriously convulsing, like humping a pillow afterward for like, you know, a good 90 seconds. Like,
and then I've been chasing.
I can't even see what's in front of me.
And we're just chasing the dragon delirious. Ever since then, right? Like, we're always looking for that first orgasm, and it's never the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. Have you ever had a jack off session where it's like the. It was almost like you prematurely ejaculated just from jacking off. And you're like, oh, that was just...
Nothing came out.
I kind of orgasmed, now I can't get hard.
It's that half one because your fucking dick is raw and you got a callus in the shape of your cock
on
your hand.
It's a boredom jack, usually. You know what I mean? It's never like a horny jack. She's like, man, I'm bored. What should I do?
Yeah. Man, I was talking about this a little bit on the podcast before, like, I think I, like, broke my dick by going down so many porno holes. Because, like, I could you know, when you're experimenting with porn and jerking off, it's like you kind of chase that dragon.
Right.
So it's like if you jizz from seeing, you know, a blowjob video, the next thing you want to see is like a blowjob and then she gets her head cut off or whatever. You just always want to take it to the next level.
It goes to like Faces of Death, you know, banned on TV, VHSs, you know, mm-hmm. You just can't stop.
Where it's like you want to see someone's life change irrevocably for you to get a half a chub.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see normal porno and you just have that session for that boredom jack.
I've been reading about something called NoFap. Do you know what this is?
No.
It's about, it's a big, like, subculture on Reddit and stuff. And it's about how masturbation and porn can really desensitize you. Porn can desensitize you from masturbation and your relationships.
Yeah.
Which I started feeling, because I smoke a lot of weed, which doesn't help the boners that much. You know what I mean? I don't know, I've been in a relationship for 6 years. There's no surprise. I love my girlfriend to death.
Right.
I don't know if I could ever date. Well, that's a weird thing to say. If I were to break up with my girlfriend, I would not be looking for somebody because everybody annoys me so much. And this girl does not.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when you're in a relationship for 6 years, sometimes it's no surprise and sometimes you gotta work at it. But the weed, when I'm super high, sometimes it's hard to get it up.
I find the opposite. I mean, I find, like, it kind of makes it better. It makes everything feel, like, so intense and
sensitive. It does, but it's hard. I don't know. Also, we may be different in how weed affects us. It's very hard for me to focus when I smoke. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I'll be in the middle of sex, and I'll kind of be like, what's going on in GTA 5, I wonder? Man, can't wait to play that again.
I wonder.
Oh, God, there's a naked, beautiful woman on my dick.
Yeah. Well, any kind of distraction just makes you last longer.
Right.
No, but, you know, when I got my girlfriend, I had to, like, really, I'm still on a porno hiatus. I'm still, like, totally not doing it.
Right.
Because I realized, like, you know, we were having sex, and it was hard for me to come the first time we had sex just because it's, like, all my backlog, I needed too much pressure because I would go after my dick like a spider monkey.
Right.
So I, like, ruined the sensitivity of it because I would, you know,
The theory of NoFap, too, is that
just
take... So I started because there's moments where I'll be like, no, let's see when she wants... When she gets held down a little bit. Let's get a little, like you said, further down
exactly.
that rabbit hole.
Exactly.
When I start seeing that, feeling that, I'm like, I'm going to take a break from porn for a day or two. and maybe I'll have sex with my girlfriend or whatever.
And you start getting into anime or something. Or where you have to see, like, an octopus with, like, 10, like, phallus tentacles.
Final Fantasy porn.
Just, like, deflowering.
What about the ones where they draw like the Simpsons? They always draw like Bart fucking Lisa or something. You're like, who is into Bart fucking Lisa?
Or his mom in the mouth or something
like
this, just punching her in the face.
Like, Family Guy sex.
And people are crazy, man.
Yeah.
They're just like, I saw that guy on the television. I want to fuck now. So let me ask you about your relationship. You've been bringing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you think that gives you a stable base, having a relationship, like, mentally, so that, you know...
It's nice to...
Mentally for when you're doing this comedy thing, you know?
Sometimes I don't feel completely supported because she doesn't want me out all the time. And I have late nights because of this comedy thing.
Right.
You're sitting in open, like... But that said, I mean, you sit down, you got to communicate with your girlfriend, so I'll sit down and be like, look, I don't feel supported, and this is what I do. So it is nice, especially coming home from a bad set, or not feeling great about myself, to have someone there.
Right.
Just, it is a great base, and, I don't know, I'm very happy with what I have.
What about when, like, I was over there, your whole bedroom is taken up with podcast equipment. Okay with that?
That is only for that moment.
And then you put it all away.
I put it up, break it down, and set it up. Because, I get it. It's in her way. She even complains a little bit and be like, Allie, don't take this away from me. And she's like, you're right. Just...
Right.
And I don't blame her for feeling a little annoyed.
Yeah.
But it's one... Yeah, it's fine. I take it down.
Well, I want to tell a little story.
All right.
After Damien Shadows, you know, it played at Shriek Fest 2012, this film festival or whatever. Then afterward, like, this weird guy contacted me. I never told this story. And he's like, we met at one of the networking things or something. And we're like, oh, we should get together and talk about, like, you know, he just made himself sound like a big shot. Like, he had all these connections or whatever.
Right.
So He's like, oh, let's meet a House of Pies in North Hollywood, you know?
Okay.
So it's just a pie shop, you know? So I bought a pie, and I'm sitting there waiting for him. And he goes, oh, you know, he calls me up when I get there, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm just editing, you know? So, you know, you mind just stopping by my house?
Right.
I was like, well, I text him back, like, well, I bought a pie. I bought a pie committed. Immediately.
Already committed.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I don't know. And so then he got there. He's all sweaty. And it's like, I'm really getting the feeling that this guy's trying to fuck me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's like, then he's having a meeting with
not like screw you over, fuck you, but fuck you, fuck
just
you.
Just like, oh, I'm going to give you advice. Oh, did you mind just stopping by my place or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like changing the location right away.
Right, right, right.
Like, oh, I got him to agree to this, so let's see if I can, you know. And so then...
got many connections at the tip of my dick, Eric, so if you want to...
But is that ever happening? Sucking. But then anyway, I had a pie, and then he's like, oh, yeah, do you want to, like, stop by and see what I'm editing? I'm like, no. And then I left. And he's just basically telling me about, like, fucking YouTube and Google Analytics or whatever of how to spread my shit virally. Or,
right.
And how all these little production companies are getting money from Google and how whatever, whatever. But has anyone ever tried to approach you and say, hey, you want to get into showbiz?
Showbiz. No. When I first moved out here, I got it. I talked in because I moved out to California not for anything, just because I was bored of the Midwest. And I moved out here and was like, now what? And then I figured out comedy was fun. Regardless, when I first moved out here, some guy approached me for like, it was like a pyramid scheme, I realized later. And he brought me to this, he's like, you're going to be your own boss, man. And I remember going to this house meeting and there was a main guy talking, he had his own ring and stuff. And I remember them being like, now, all you need to do is get 12 more people to come up. And I was just like, God damn it. I fell for it. I went all the way out to this place. This guy's playing with his Rolex.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Never show busy stuff, but...
Yeah. Oh, no, I worked for this... they had this position on Craigslist, you know. Craigslist entertainment section is a den of thieves when you're looking for a job.
Oh.
You know? Because I
that's where I find some people for my show. Yeah,
I applied to this one job, then they're like, oh, be like a film scout or whatever. So I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I can kind of be in the business and still work on my stand-up. So I get there, this company called Austro and Company.
Mm-hmm.
So what they have me do is basically email them Excel spreadsheets of all of the filmmakers' contact information, like at a festival. So, like Sundance, like research all the fucking Sundance films, find out who made them. And then what they were doing was calling them and saying, hey, you need representation. We'll represent your film. Give us $12,500 and we'll shop your film around for you.
Right.
Trying to exploit other. I started sending these in, and at first they were saying they would give me $100 each. They didn't give me any money whatsoever.
Oh.
So I would be researching at night, like spending 5 hours looking up all this shit. I would kept sending it. I kept showing up to these meetings, and every Wednesday I would show up to the meeting, there was like new people. And so it was just a pyramid scheme of fucking interns, and they tell you there's money, there's no money.
You never got any money from them.
No. And I tried to report this to, news outlets of, hey, this company's a bunch of scam artists, and nobody ran the story, because I guess they're worried about getting sued by this fucking old bitch called Paige Austro, who, you know, is one rich lady at the top of this fucking pyramid PR scheme.
Maybe we just need to start a pyramid scheme. Maybe that's how it works. You know what I mean? You start the pyramid scheme.
Okay. Selling jam.
Selling jam.
You gotta get 12 people to buy jam from me.
Jam and preserves. Yeah.
And I get all the money at the top. All right. Well, let's, we started off just being depressing about our lives as struggling artists. Let's start to entertain these people.
Okay.
You Facebooked one time that you want to eat cartoon pizza.
It just looks so cheesy. Have you seen it? Have you seen Ninja Turtles pizza?
Yeah.
It's stringy. Same goes for T-bone steaks in cartoons. I don't know. They just make them look so
because
delicious.
They have a butter knife to the T-bone steak and they just like pull it and it just comes right off.
I'm like, how tender is that? Is the whole thing a tenderloin? I want that.
Yeah, man.
They
just make it perfect.
Cartoon pizza. Oof.
Also, let's talk about cartoon hot people. I was on your show one time. We were talking about Ariel from the I was actually at work, and I was putting Ariel fucking 3 on German iTunes or whatever today. And I realized that they're so precious. They draw her to be so hot that she doesn't even smile. Before she smiles, it's like she gives that nod like, bleh, and then she goes into the smile from like a, ooh, I'm just a little dope face. And then the smile goes into like...
It's like a skateboarder about to go up a ramp. They have to like go down a little bit and get that... She's got to ramp up to her smile.
To make it all so precious.
She needs that momentum of her head to force her... smile up.
And like even little bunnies, like they don't just move, they like preciously so move with that with that extra little hello bounce to that.
Right.
But you know, Ariel's designed to give kids their first boners.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
My favorite was Jessica Rabbit. Oh, Jessica Rabbit. Oof. What I would do to her. Now, if you look at Jessica Rabbit in real life, she looks like she could have a receding hairline, correct?
I think that she kind of was like Marilyn Monroe bunny, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's a rabbit.
No, she was not a human.
Would you not mind a like if a hot chick just had a rabbit head, like a super realistic rabbit head, but the body was a 10.
I'd be
Kate Upton's body.
Oh, Kate Upton's body.
Rabbit face.
Right. No, because the teeth on a rabbit are very scary.
Just put
right?
it under a pillow and from
I've
behind.
Always asked this. If a super hot video game character walks into your room, wouldn't you have sex with her? Like, everyone's like, no, that's stupid. I'm like, it's just like masturbating, except it's just like a girl from Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball or something.
Or like, you know, this guy is... The guy is looking through a dumpster with a flashlight. He threw a watermelon that sprayed all over the car. Now, apparently, that's evidence that he needs in a trial. So he's going through it to look for it.
I need that back.
But also, Ariel's drawn by, like, the fattest scoliosis. The fattest artist ever. They're just hunched over the thing, just eating cheeseburgers.
I feel the same way about, like, comic book artists. Like, all comic book chicks are super sexy and, like, scrawny little...
Yeah.
Everyone complains about... like video games and comic books being sexist, it's because there's no women drawing or making these video games. It's just nerdy, pimply dudes that have never had a woman in their life. Yeah, this is the ideal woman.
Yeah, that's hot.
She could use her long hair as a weapon.
I was looking at this aerial shot, you know, it's like she's on the top of the rock. She's singing as she reaches the apex. The fucking water sprays
she's
up
very
her butt.
Playboy like. Presenting herself in a Playboy
manner. She's fucking, she's going way up there. And she's, there's like this coral butthole that she keeps fisting. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Seaweed that looks like a dick slaps against her face. And then like she gets sprayed by some unknown like bubble spray. Taking a facial.
Sebastian.
If you look through that shit, left, right, and center, it's just imagery of her just being hot everywhere.
Right.
And just look at how she really goes after this straw so preciously to suck out her drink. Just starts jacking it off.
What I've always thought, too, is, like, we get a lot of crap for, like, drawing women a certain way. Like, this is giving an unrealistic thing for women. But I'm like, have you seen little kids, like, boys action figures? Have you seen men in Disney movies? Like, I don't have a 12-pack. There's no way I can get a 12-pack. I don't even know if that's possible.
Some fatty just draws it.
Yeah.
As he's yelling at his mom downstairs.
I'm playing with He-Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is He-Man. He's ripped his shit. Like, he's just, like, he's juicing his entire life. But women are the ones that get the bad message. I used to watch wrestling. That's just full of roided out dudes.
Yeah. I guess there's not the same kind of pressure. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about politics.
Oh, boy.
I want to run some things by you.
Oh, great.
What do you think about this government shutdown? You know, this guy, Ted Cruz, he's a Republican.
Okay.
He's doing this filibuster because apparently, now, I think that both of these fucking puppet parties that we have are controlled by the same banks and oil barons.
It's great that you say that because my grandma used to be like, so what do you think of Obama now? And I'd be like, Grandma, I just always shut her up. I've been like, Grandma, they're just the same people to me.
Obama is not a person, okay? What guy is raised by a poor black single mom or white single mom, you know? Dad split, you know? And then he's like, you know what I like? You know, after all that experience, all that poverty, all that struggle, you know what I learned? I like high-level drone murders at countries that have oil. That's not a person, okay? That is a shell of oil companies and fucking banks trying to fuck you because there's a smiley black guy telling it to you.
Right.
All right? But anyway, this guy, Ted Cruz, is doing this filibuster.
Right.
And he, because he doesn't want to pass this healthcare thing that actually might cost insurance companies millions of dollars or whatever in the long run. So he's there as a representative of the oil company in a fucking suit saying that he's a fucking congressman.
Yeah.
And he's standing there filibustering, which is just talking about nothing to... So it's like, there's like lobbyists, you know, who like stand online. I'm sorry, I'm just talking about this.
No, go ahead.
I want your response to this, my lengthy setup. There's lobbyists who just, at first they would stand outside and basically, you know, they had to stand in the lobby as they waited to tell the fucking congressman how much cash they can give them if they pass their agenda. Right. Then they started getting line waiters,
right,
where people would professionally stand in line because the lobbyists were too busy and too fancy to wait on the line for themselves.
Okay.
Now the politicians it's gone down the chain. Now the politicians are totally corrupted. So now the politician, Ted Cruz, is just a line waiter at the top of the Congress, fucking waiting, burning out Congress's time for the fucking insurance companies. Right. He's just a line waiter.
What's amazing to me with politics is how phony they feel. And I don't get why. Well, I get it, I guess, because if you do one thing wrong, you admit to inhaling a joint or something, that's all they bring up. That's all they're going
over and over and over again.
And it's just ruined it because now they want to be the right, the perfect politician for all people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't want to say anything wrong. It's just, it lacks humanity.
Also, there seems to just be this churning of people who just kind of roll from position to position. Like, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State.
Right.
And then she fucking quit. And then, you know who it is? John Kerry, who is also a Skull and Bonesman, who you also heard about run for president, you know, 2004. And it's just these churning of these fucking career politicians.
It's like a group of people or some sort of gang or something.
They just kind of rotate to
the
top.
Yeah.
When it's like, no, we need some new blood. We need to spill their blood. And we need to fucking chop all their heads off. Like, at the point where our congressmen are just lobbyists burning time at Congress.
Right.
Like, we need chop all their fucking heads off.
Also,
when does it get to that?
It feels like, too, that they seem like the same party at times. And then they come in, and then they just do things. Instead of, like, they're not worried about what's best for the country. None of them are worried about what's best for the country. Not in my opinion. In my opinion, all politicians just worry about their pocketbooks and their wallets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all they care about. Yeah. And so what am I voting for? When people tell me, hey, you can't complain because you didn't vote. Just because I didn't vote doesn't mean I don't have a First Amendment. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Like, of course, I don't like any of the choices. Why would I vote for any of it? Plus, retards vote, and it's skewed the whole system.
The Republican leader, this guy John Boehner, he gave out lobbyist money on the House floor a few years ago.
Okay.
And so he was like...
Wine asked me to give out a half a dozen checks quickly before we got to the end of the month, and I complied. And I did it on the House floor, which I regret, should not have done. It's not a violation of the House rules. But it's a practice that's gone on here for a long time that we're trying to stop, and I know that I'll never do it again.
But it's a practice we're trying to stop? No, you fucking did it!
Right.
You fucking did it, man!
It's too late!
Who's we? Who's we? Okay?
Yeah.
He's the fucking, this stubborn asshole that can't even go, you know, I fucked up. Blah, 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 blah. Which he clearly did. And he should be taken out and shot. Why isn't any of these people taken out and shot?
Right.
That's in the fucking face, because they're assholes. Like, god damn it. Okay, so also, I'm into conspiracies, you know, mm-hmm. and there's been congressional hearings on JFK and MLK, where basically the hearings would always say things like this. There was probably a conspiracy.
Right.
And MLK, some CIA guy, had to, like, pay for it, for the civil damage of right. MLK's death. He was found civilly responsible, which means he had to give... The CIA guy had to give the MLK family a lot of money because mm-hmm. he was found to have probably shot him in the head.
Right.
That's it. No one was fired. And all these people that were churning inside the government, covering it up, are still fucking there.
Right.
Which tells me that this is like a lie that has snowballed since the 60s. Well,
and who knows what else has gone on that we don't know. You know what I mean?
It just feels like a coup d'etat, you know? Right. Kennedys in a row? You have to go?
No, I got a conspiracy for you.
Go on. What time is it, by the way?
It's 7:20.
Okay, we're good.
We're good. My check engine light just came on.
Uh-huh.
And there's a conspiracy, I think, going on with this check engine light bullshit.
Do tell.
I'm pretty pissed, because you don't know what the check engine light is for.
Right.
It could be just something minor like a gas cap, or you could blow up in 20 minutes.
And how stupid are we that there's like a red light has to come up for and be like, red right. button, engine bad, poo-poo engine.
And now you got to take it in yeah. to whoever made it to put the little plug in and be like, oh, it's code P125. That is this. The conspiracy to me is you could easily put that on the dash right there. Right. You got an odometer, you know, you got numbers there. Just throw the code up and let me look it up. There could be a multitude of things. I get it. You don't want to list it all on the dashboard. Throw up the number. Let us look it up. What do you think? How say you?
I think that I remember I got my transmission replaced.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what metal is it made out of? And they're like, aluminum. I'm like, you know, I've had, like, aluminum bikes. They kind of bend after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can't you make a transmission out of fucking titanium, and then you would need one forever?
It is the light bulb theory that they make things to break. Unless it's Rolls Royce.
Because, like, some of the first light bulbs that were ever made still work.
Right,
fine.
Exactly. Because yeah. there's a business in it. If you're someone like Tesla and you're making, like, unlimited free energy or something, then there's no business in that. Yeah. Thomas Edison will come and shut you down.
And I think, but exactly that point, like, I think that this free energy thing that the people at the top, the vampires at the top, who like war for some reason. And the Syria thing really opened everybody's eyes, I think. They're like, oh, so a couple Syrians, like shot a couple Syrians. Let's get in there. Who can we drone strike? Let's approve. I want everything. I want to go in there. I want to start killing. And then the whole American people's like, fuck off.
Right.
No. Like, it was, I mean, maybe a lot of people were tweeting about it. I don't know what that did. Mm-hmm. But everyone just, there was just this whole thing of like, no, and then it didn't happen.
Right.
And so I feel like, aren't those people exposed? Who is fucking wringing their hands on television saying that this is a good idea? No! How about we have free energy and not, you know what I mean?
What do you think I think all things are fueled by money. Like, I don't think there's anything about, like, I want my guy to be in the office. Maybe that is the case, but I think all conspiracies that you could ever think of, anything that anybody's trying to do, it's just all about money. Right. Like, I don't, like, even with the Patriot Act and stuff where they're like, they're going to come and get you and stuff like that. To me, it's kind of like, yeah, there's no reason for them to come after me. What they're going to do, they're trying to find ways to bilk money. That's why, like, there's a new street sweeping law that if you're parked on the street at a certain time, we're going to bill you. It's all about money to me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But what is money? I think that there are people that own what money is. If you look at the back of your money, it says, this is a Federal Reserve note.
And who decides how much what is what.
Yeah. They are the basis of money. And it's supposed to be backed by gold, but we don't know how much. It's not public record how much gold is in Fort Knox, and that's supposed to be it. But it's this weird thing where it's literally based on nothing. And I think it's based on the fact that we have an economy that runs on it. The people's work, that people are willing to work for dollars is what makes dollars valuable, I think.
Right.
So it's like the people who own the dollars actually own all of our labor.
Yeah.
So because it's by private banks mm-hmm. that, of course, would set the system so that mm-hmm. they're fucking at the top.
Right.
But I think that the internet and the fact that people can communicate these ideas is kind of seems to be like there seems to be a shift happening.
Like they can't keep up.
They can't keep up with how it's fast the Wild info West, comes man. Out.
Except it's the Wild West, but on speed or crack or whatever drug you want to use to get you jacked up.
And my feeling is like if you want to rule by instead of ballots, like if you want to rule by going, I don't like that president, kaboom. If you want to fucking play that game, you're gonna have secrets. And the one thing that the internet's really good at is at least having people exchange ideas and secrets go away, man. They fucking go away.
Right.
Every memo is probably scanned in some database, and eventually maybe a group of rebels could get to that
Anonymous
database.
Anonymous or whoever it is.
And I don't know. I think Anonymous are probably pissed off CIA guys with excellent computer training.
Because
they're like, at a certain level, if you get into the NSA and you really think that everything you're doing is good, you're going to be pissed off.
Right.
I want to be on an NSA watch list. I want to be... Also, in Scientology, you can be a suppressive person.
The cam guy on my show. I won't say his name. But you know who he is.
Yes.
He did some sort of thing where he protested something that Scientology did. Later left. I think it was the next day. I don't know all the details. Ask him next time you see him. Scientologist shows up at his doorstep. Just from being at this rally, he said he had a mask on and he, like, lifted his mask for, like, a couple, like, 5 minutes or something.
How creepy is that?
Right?
He shows up in a mask!
Yeah. And then they show up on his doorstep the next day and say, you're on a list that is, like, this is a list of people that are trying to take us down and you're on that list now.
Now, and also, L. Ron Hubbard...
up.
That's called a suppressive person. And L. Ron Hubbard said that you can use any and all legal or non-legal actions to go against suppressive persons.
Right.
It is my goal to be on that list of suppressive persons. It's also my goal to be on an NSA watch list. Because you know what? Oh, you're a fucking cop because you sit in a cubicle listening to phone calls and seeing if keywords pop up. You're not a fucking law enforcement officer. You're a piece of shit.
One of my favorite, like, my favorite radio moments, one of them, I was a huge fan of Loveline, you know, when it was going on with Carolla and Drew.
Yeah.
And many people will hate on Carolla, you know. He's very opinionated, which I get why people disagree. But he went off on how, him and Drew went off on how Scientology is a cult.
Yes.
And later got a fax, like, the next day that said, hey, you guys said this. Here is a pre-apology. Read this. And this isn't like in the early 90s. Like, no, probably like 96, 97, when they were way more powerful than they are now. And like, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to apologize online. And all they did was Carolla read it online. Just go kiss my ass. You know what I mean? Like, we're not reading this. And now nobody gives a shit about Scientologists, really.
Yeah. And also, the internet is breaking them apart because they're built on you need to pay us money and then we're going to tell you a secret. So there's like 7 levels of secrets, and you pay money and you get to be a better Scientologist by going through their very expensive programs and classes.
And apparently you go and you like tell, you don't you get rid of like, I don't know what it is, whatever.
Thetans.
You reveal these secrets of yourself. And
which
I'm pretty
they
sure they film, right?
They record,
so like any of these big celebrities want to leave Scientology, it's like, we got something here saying.
It's been a big thing forever that they're saying that. They would tell the press if John Travolta wanted to leave that he was gay.
Right.
But it's like, hey, stay with us in this fucking Ponzi scheme and we'll give you gay cock.
I have a friend. I have a friend that is a Scientologist. Well, I haven't talked to him in a while, but an old friend that is a Scientologist now. And I remember listening to some show with a psychiatrist or whatever it is. He said many of Scientologists have some sort of trauma in their like childhood. And I remember this guy, like my old friend, had, like, his fucking dad shot and stuff. Like, I just thought of it, and I was like, God damn, wow. And maybe it's just anecdotal, but I don't know. It just rang true, man, and I don't know what that is. Maybe you're just searching for something. Like, what draws you to a cult, like, group like that? What draws you that? Like,
daddy issues? I just think, when I was there, it's just like, I went to this Scientology, like, tour.
Yeah.
You know, in the Hollywood location. It's just a propaganda tour of... Da 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 da! L. Ron Hubbard was the most interesting man in the world. He was a world explorer. He explored and he saw Aboriginal Indians and did their most sacred mystical practices. Then he went to China and he was a woodsman and a marksman. He could steer any vessel. Bah, 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 bah. These are all his awards from like the city of Baltimore. Like, congratulations.
Right.
And it was just like, that is one guy who wanted you to have every opinion he's ever said because his ego is absolutely boundless. And he would do this thing where he would, you know, I'm a writer. I went to school for writing, you know. It's like, you're supposed to rewrite and make it good. And he would just crank out what was at the top of his head constantly.
The diagnostics and...
Dianetics.
What's diagnostics? That's like a doctor for it. Dianetics.
He, like, pretended the fact that he was, like, a doctor of everything. And of every subject ever. And then he's, you know, even down to, like, you need to clean your car with a specific feather duster because it was the expensive one that he bought.
Right.
Just you know what I mean? It's also, that's my problem with improv, and I'm gonna go really off on Monkey Butler right now, but it's just something I'm thinking about Christians. You know, if you can't see the world for the complexity it has, if you can't see the world of all these different just like fucking birds that eat a certain worm that always are out at 11 a.m. and all the things of nature and all the ego that people have in certain situations and all the from their complex backgrounds. If you don't want to see all that, what you do is you put glasses on that are like a CD that on the half of the CD is, but it's like transparent, you know, and half of it is like red and then the other half is like white and blue and cloudy. And then you just look through that thing and just see the world as either Satan or Jesus. Satan or Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with how fucking complicated this is. So I'm going to look, I'm going to etch glasses through a Bible and just go, no, I can only see through this lens.
I've never had a Christian answer a question for me, one of these questions for me. By the way, there may be a God, there may not. I have no idea. I don't think there's a biblical God. Or if there is, he'd be very disappointed in what Christians have done with his word.
Yeah.
I have always asked, if God created man in imperfect, or because Adam ate the apple that Eve gave him, or whatever the shit it is, why would he give us the word of God to present to everybody?
Yeah.
And nobody can ever answer that for me. Like, why would he give it to an imperfect being... And then just, all right, now I trust you people to not switch it in a way that makes it benefit you only. So go ahead, spread my word.
And the priests were
from the South for some reason, God.
Priests were always, the priest class was always like historically pissed when the Bible got translated into English.
Martin Luther.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because before it was just priests that only knew this information, and then they'd give it to the
and so anything that's
the peasants
that you need to put in your head between you and whatever the biggest questions ever are, you're putting someone else's images into what your soul can know truly of whatever this fucking consciousness is that we're all experiencing and we're all looking at.
And by the way, how diabolical is it to be... Oh, it's just, everything is just God's plan. Just have faith.
Yeah.
How diabolical. Like, and then, why question anything? Just have faith.
And wouldn't you see how a government would want you to have that kind of magical thinking as they fucked you in the ass and took your fucking income tax out of your check and, you know what I mean? All this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so skeptical of the government because it just seems to be like endless war chaos monkeys.
I understand what you're saying.
Who are just interested in oil.
But how... This is my thought. I used to be very political and I'd get in these huge arguments and I'd come afterwards be like, man, why the hell did I do that? What can you do?
Say it on a podcast?
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Spread information. I got to this point where I was like, God, I just need to worry about me, man.
No, and I think also, you know, try to be nice to people when I'm not on your show, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just
right.
Try to do my best. I don't know, but I feel like I want to know if there's someone stealing from me, I want to know who they are. And that's all it is. If someone's taken my liberties or something, if someone's taken my... But at the same time, we're podcasting, and... I remember always being very skeptical of any conspiracy theory, you know, because it's like, but not, because, or I started to think about conspiracy theories when I realized, like, oh, CNN is trying to, you know, put your mind in a box. CNN is trying to give you propaganda, you right. know, which I'm sure they are. But now that I can directly talk into a microphone and then directly upload that MP3 where I am the chain of command.
Right.
I see what content goes up there. That's what makes me hopeful.
Do you buy any of the news? Do you know what I mean? Like, I always want to. But every time I see it, it's always, to me, not only is it them, I don't know if it's always them trying to brainwash or, like, trying to give you a message that they want to force feed you, but sometimes I wonder, like, we're in the internet age, and all they want to do is get the information out before anybody else. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
There's always, retractions of, like, well, we said this, and then this happened, and then that, and it was like, sorry, that was wrong. Like, every time an earthquake happens, it's always like four. It's always really ridiculous on the scale. It's always like 9.4, and then like three. You'll find out a week later it was like a 4.0 or whatever it was on the Richter scale. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that so imagine in a day and how many people's minds are looking at that day.
Yeah.
How many billions of people are, right? So what the news selects to show you is important for news,
but they also
always
want,
seems to have an agenda behind it. If they're like, look at these chemical weapons that Syrians are shooting Syrians at, they'll play these images over and over. And actually, it was proven that a lot of these images were taken from another chemical weapons attack that had nothing to do with that.
It's all about ratings, too.
Someone has to know that they're not going in the video archive that's labeled Syrians killing Syrians. Someone have made the decision to put the deceptive video out there.
Or
to rile up a reaction to get them
ratings or whatever it is, right?
And also to go and be like, get the public approval to go do something about it.
I got really irritated recently when I read this Huffington Post article about. You saw the whole Jimmy Kimmel versus Kanye West thing?
Mm-mm.
You didn't. Jimmy Kimmel made a very tame spoof on Kanye West, and Kanye threw a tantrum online and bashed him and went off on him, and everyone just kind of laughed.
I'm not gay!
Yeah.
I'm not gay! What is it with black people being homophobic?
No faggot! No!
Take a joke, man. Jesus Christ, you're swimming in millions. Shut the fuck up.
I know, man.
Shut up. And you won.
The Huffington Post made this article that made me irate, saying how America's just racist, and that's why we take Jimmy Kimmel's side, and he's the white comedian just bashing this black rap artist, and everyone's holding him down, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Ask all of my generation who the best comedian is. It's Dave Chappelle.
Right.
Because he's a fucking, you know, he's always, you know, I don't know. He had the best show ever. The best sketch show ever was Chappelle's show.
Yes.
Everyone knows it. Kanye West is a fucking douchebag.
Right.
So it's got nothing to do with race.
Also,
why can't I hate a black person for being an asshole?
Exactly. And one of the things was they didn't even make... Because what he did was he took an interview and then replaced Kanye and the interviewer with kids. And they just did the sketch... Or they did the interview verbatim. And they're like, they didn't even bash him. They just replaced him with kids. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, good thing Kanye didn't... proved how much of a kid he wasn't by throwing a tantrum on Twitter. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, of course he's being called a kid. He storms the stage when, like, a music video wins so that he doesn't think... Like, he's acting like a child.
Yeah.
It's not racism.
Yeah.
The guy makes way more than any... The guy probably makes more than Kimmel.
Yeah.
Right? The guy's making millions.
And he's completely out of his mind. Has a warped sense of ego. You know, and that's the other thing. Like, if he was raised in a different culture, or he was born 2 days earlier, he might be a fucking, like, janitor right now.
Right.
You know, you never know how the series of your life transpires.
And by the way, I love me some Kanye West music. I gotta give it to him. I love it. And there's the guy makes hits, and there's nothing that's going to stop him from doing that.
Right.
Well, if it's Jimmy Kimmel making a sketch, do you know what I mean? He's going to succeed because he's great at writing whatever he writes. Fucker.
Well, got any things you want to plug?
Check out, I'll pull it up, but check out the Self-Indulgent Podcast.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, please.
Check out my appearances, because he kind of subtly said it. I mean, that's what everyone looks forward to.
Right. I have some... God damn it. I should have pulled this up.
That's okay. Here, let me tell my plugs.
Go for it.
I'll be at the Comedy Store Belly Room Saturday, October 26th at 10 p.m. I got this web series that we continue to edit together called Here Comes Godot. It's going to come out maybe in December. Wow. We're really working on it. I also hosted this DVD called Theater of the Deranged that's probably going to come out next year as Damien Shadows. It's a series of short horror films, you know, that I host the segments of, and I tell you what's coming up next. So, Theater of the Deranged 2, check it out.
Are you a horror person? Are you into horror?
You know...
Seem like you gravitate towards a little bit.
I have to get a boner somehow by seeing, like, really fucked up shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. Check me out. I'll be at the Irvine Improv, my second improv appearance.
Hell yeah.
November 6th. So I need some votes because I want to win some money there. And you can bring a canned good, and you get in free, or you can just be on my guest list.
So if you bring Sean a Lewin. Can of Campbell's soup,
you get in for free.
That's your ticket.
Or you can just ask me to be on the guest list. You'll be on my guest list as well, which is probably preferred, but also bring the can of corn or whatever it is.
Because it goes to a shelter?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's another... Oh, yeah. Click through the Amazon link on the RSS feed. Gives us a little cash. Doesn't make things on Amazon more expensive. And thanks to my guest, Sean Lewin.
Thanks for having me, man. This was a blast.
Cool, man. That's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Peace!
Woo!